If one of your New Year's resolutions is to save money without cutting back on the things that you love, check out the Flooz app. Flooz offers up to 35% back on merchants such as Chipotle, Starbucks, Spotify, and more. Sign up for the app using the link in the show notes, and you will automatically earn 3 vouchers for up to 35% back. I'd recommend using them in $10 increments to maximize the value that you can get out of each voucher. Download the Flooz app using the link in the show notes. Thank you to Flooz for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
So I have to give my mom some credit for my interest in points and miles because she has had a Southwest branded card for over 20 years. It's their only card that they use. But, you know, that she uses it to pay for everything and she gets, you know, her Southwest miles. So she's been, you know, paying for flights with points and miles for a long time. And I think that's kind of what opened the door to me a little bit is because one year they were getting some big renovations done on their home, spending a lot of money, and they were like getting close to the companion pass. And my mom's like, I might get the companion pass this year. We're like spending a lot of money. And then I found this article that was like, instead of $100,000, you can spend $8,000 to get the companion pass. And I read about it and was like, oh no, I think this is true. And then I had to try it. And that's what got me to try it.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Jessica Long from Our Long Life blog. Jessica is a points enthusiast, photographer, and mom that loves to share her wins on her blog and Instagram, Our Long Life. In this episode, Jessica and I discuss her first ever points redemption for a fantastic family vacation to Hawaii and how her family is able to leverage the Southwest Companion Pass to get BOGO flights for up to 2 years at a time. If you're interested in getting Southwest Companion Pass, now is the time. One strategy is to get a Southwest personal card and earn the 40,000 point introductory bonus, and also get the Southwest Performance Business credit card to earn the 80,000 point introductory bonus. Between the bonuses and the points that you'll earn just from hitting the minimum spends, you will net more than the 125,000 points you need in order to earn Companion Pass. Once you've earned 125,000 points this year, you'll have BOGO flights for the rest of 2022 and all of 2023. Remember, whenever you're looking to get a new card, always use a friend or creator's links to help them earn points or commissions. If you'd like to support this show when you get your next card, you can find the links to the Southwest cards and all of the other cards in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hey, Jessica, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, Julia. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We're so excited to have you here and to learn about your fantastic trip to Maui and the one that you're about to take again and how you plan both of those trips, as well as getting companion pass, two companion passes, and your strategy behind that. So before we cover all of that today, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us your background and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Sure. So I am from Houston, Texas. I am a mom and wedding photographer. I have a son who's 4 years old, and I have been on over 20 different countries. And my son, who is 4 years old, has been on over 50 flights. So we love to travel. And I'm pretty new to points and miles. I've been doing it for over a year now, but I just delved right in and tried to learn everything I could as fast as I could.
Very cool. How did you get started? How did you even learn that this was a thing?
Basically from Instagram. When COVID hit, my business basically shut down and I became like a stay-at-home mom and I had all this new time on my hands. So I started this blog to finally like document our family travels and family photos and kind of what we were learning. And then I guess when I opened a new Instagram account and was like, yeah, I'll follow like travel hackers and credit card points and miles. And then I discovered your account and all these other people traveling on points and miles. And I was so excited. And I learned so much. Before, I had had a couple points and miles credit cards, but I felt like I didn't have a lot of answers on, okay, I opened up and received the bonus. Like, what do I do now? And y'all were actually out there like answering those questions and giving a lot of different options. And you were starting your podcast and I was just listening to every episode and basically trying to do all the tips that everybody was giving.
Nice. We've grown such a big community on Instagram over the last year. I feel like a year and a half ago before the pandemic, there just weren't a lot of us on Instagram talking about points and miles. It was always just people talking about it on blogs. Now there's so many of us. It's fantastic.
Totally. And before, I would never like message a stranger on Instagram, but this information was so good that I was messaging Max Miles Points and asking him questions and pack your bag with points. And like, okay, what do I do here? And it was great. Like, you're always talking about the community is so awesome. And it is like, people are always welcome to like giving advice and helping you.
For sure. So you mentioned that during the pandemic, your business kind of shut down and you became a stay-at-home mom. What was your business or is your business?
Sure. So my business is back up and running now. And I'm a wedding photographer. I've been a wedding photographer for over 10 years now, and it was fine during the pandemic, like a little stressful, but my husband was still working from home. I just got to spend more time with my family, and I'm happy that it led me to learning more about this hobby. But yeah, I also love photographing weddings, and I photographed two weddings in Italy. I photograph weddings all over the United States and a lot in Houston.
Are you able to incorporate that into your travel hacking hobby now and like either just earn a lot of points if you're traveling for weddings or anything else?
Sure. Earlier this year, I was in West Palm Beach and that was actually to photograph like parts of a wedding. So that's been great. But I actually feel sad that I learned about this so late because I'm like, I could have used this so much more. And maybe moving forward now, I just booked a wedding in Las Vegas. So I'm hoping to use even more travel hacking tips to help me photograph weddings, you know, around the US and world.
Absolutely. I feel like if you have any kind of job that requires traveling, it's so important to get these different travel hacking credit cards, points and miles credit cards, because you can rack up so many points just from the flights and the hotels and then use them for your own personal vacation afterwards.
It's been great for us to open up business cards because my husband has his own business and I have my own business. So I think we don't have to stress as much as other people who maybe don't have a intense business. Like, we can feel confident in applying for a business card and those have tons of points and hitting those sign up bonuses, and we can use them for business expenses that we have. So that's been really helpful to earn a lot of points quickly.
For sure. So you said you're pretty new to the game. What was the first redemption that you made on points?
Sure. So I tested out this a little bit and went to the Hyatt Regency Lost Pines. But once I realized it was going to work, which I thought it would, I started planning my bucket list Hawaii trip. So we were able to take that trip in early 2021, April 2021.
And that was your first big redemption?
That was definitely my first big redemption.
Tell us a little bit about the planning process when you decided, okay, it's going to work. The points and miles will actually work. We're not just going to be stranded at the airport or without a hotel. How did you go about deciding where you wanted to stay, finding your flights? Walk us through all of your steps.
Sure. I had decided that I wanted to go to Maui. And during COVID in 2021, I was a little nervous about going between islands. And I just wanted to make everything as super simple and easy as possible. So, and I knew I was going to fly Southwest. We have two companion passes and we have lots of points. So we knew we were going to go Southwest. So I started looking at the Southwest low fare calendar, different times of year, what my schedule looked like and trying to find when we could go. And then I started looking at the Hyatt hotels there and figuring out what people recommend and what was available.
Talk us through how you got the Southwest companion passes. Did you already have a lot of those points just from having traveled a lot for your business or anything before, or was it all purely you earned it once you got into the game of points and miles?
I opened a Southwest credit card, a personal card, and a business card pretty close together at the very beginning of 2019, and with the purpose of getting a companion pass. And that earned me a ton of Southwest points that I can then use to travel. And I think I was using my card probably like throughout those that year as well and earning more points that way. But the biggest part was definitely those signup bonuses from the business card and my personal card. And then the following year, my husband went through the same process and he opened up a Southwest business and a Southwest personal credit card and got his companion pass. And my card should have expired in 2020, but because of COVID, they have extended it to the end of 2021. So I've had a companion pass for 3 years now almost, and my husband's had it for almost 2 years now.
Are you going to be going for companion pass again?
Yes. And I'm hoping to go at the beginning of 2022 for another companion pass. And then I'll probably have my husband go for one at the end of, or at the beginning of 2023. And he still has a ton of points left that we've been using in his account just from his companion pass. So we'll probably still work on those. So I'm just excited to like fill up my points again and yeah, have the companion passes available to us.
What's your strategy this time around for the companion pass? Are you going to turn both the personal and business credit cards again? Or are you just going to go for the personal offer? Walk us through your strategy.
Sure. I'm planning to get the personal and business cards again. And I know they have like a dual offer now on, I think it's the business card. And I'll probably try to hit that. I know there's a large spend with the second like tier of points. And I'll probably try to hit that as well because I love Southwest. I've only flown Southwest for the last like 3 years. Pretty much anything like domestic or even like those little Caribbean trips where we're always looking for Southwest flights.
So the timing for when you went to Maui, was that just based off of the Southwest calendar on when you found a good deal?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was based on. And I think it was like a good time of year for weather and everything like that. I don't know if they have a bad time of year there, but that just worked out with our schedules and when I didn't have weddings and things like that.
Cool. Yeah, I know a lot of people sometimes get confused about like, oh, when is the best time to get a really good redemption with Southwest? But with Southwest, it really doesn't matter because you're almost always going to just get 1.5 or 1.6 cents per point of redemption value when you transfer Chase points over to Southwest, or if you earn them organically through the Southwest credit cards. So if you're looking for a good deal with Southwest, then Jessica, what you did with just searching on the low fare calendar is the way to go. There's no like comparing points versus cash price and trying to figure out any arbitrage or opportunities. That doesn't exist with Southwest. Southwest is a fantastic program for beginners just because I like to say there's only so much that can go right, but only so much that can go wrong because you're always going to get 1.5 or 1.6 cents per point.
Totally. And I think since I've started learning more, most of my Chase points go towards Hyatt's now, Hyatt hotel stays. And then my Southwest points are all earned through Southwest cards.
That's a really good strategy. So what were the hotels that you stayed at in Maui, and were they Hyatt hotels?
Sure. So we stayed at one Hyatt and one Marriott because I'm still not as organized in planning things way in advance. And I was just excited to see different hotels, and they were on different parts of the island. So our absolute favorite hotel was the Hyatt Regency Maui. It had just been renovated, and we got globalist status before going on this trip because I was planning on going on this trip. And I thought that would really get our value for the globalist status. So we didn't have to pay any taxes on those point stays. We got free breakfast. We had free valet parking. It was awesome. They upgraded our room to like a high floor balcony, ocean view. It was total paradise. It was awesome. We absolutely loved it. They had a beautiful pool. It was right on the beach. And then we moved hotels for the last few nights to the Wailea Beach Resort, which also came highly recommended. That is an absolutely gorgeous hotel too. They have a beautiful like lobby and infinity pool and great views of like the coastline. And we used Marriott points for that stay. But we favored the Hyatt Regency Maui, and my husband told me, okay, we have to come back and stay here longer. And that's what we're planning to do in a few weeks.
How did you get globalist so fast?
Sure. So they had a double night special where you stay and you get double elite nights for each like single night you stay. And in January 2021, and I did like a room run, and I was like, this is kind of crazy to me. Like, we actually checked into like some 5,000 point like Hyatt place in Houston and booked it for a week and didn't stay there one night. I totally wanted to stay somewhere and actually use it, but it didn't really work out with our schedules. So I was like, we just checked in, and I told him I'm not really going to be there. And then we left, and that got me 14 nights in addition to my Hyatt credit card, which gave me some nights as well. And then we had stayed a few nights too at other Hyatts, and that put me at the nights I needed.
What kind of perks does Globalist get you at the Hyatt Regency in Maui?
Sure. So Globalist got us free valet parking. It gave us a welcome gift when we checked in. I think they gave us a bottle of wine. They gave us a free room upgrade to like a high room with like beautiful beach view with a balcony. And we had free breakfast, and food is definitely more expensive in Hawaii. So starting off the day with free breakfast for three people at like a breakfast buffet was awesome. And then there's no taxes on any of the rooms either, where that really adds up too. There's no taxes, and resort fees is a huge cost too that you see at a lot of the nicer points hotels.
Is this the hotel that had the penguins?
Yes, they have the penguins.
So were all of these points that you earned, you said you mostly transferred Chase points to Hyatt. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
How about Marriott? Did you open a Marriott credit card, or were you transferring points? How did you do the other hotel?
I had a Marriott credit card that I earned the bonus on. And then I also opened the Amex Platinum, because when I got into the Points and Miles community, they were like, oh, when you're starting, you start with Chase, but the pros get into Amex. So I was like, okay, I got to open the Amex card. So I opened the Amex Platinum card, and they had the 10 times bonus on groceries. And I was like buying any big purchase I had, like on Amazon or it really anywhere that has a gift card, I would go to Kroger and buy like my groceries. And then I would add on that gift card for whatever big thing I was buying that week. And that would give me like the gas points, which were sometimes two times or four times points for the Kroger points, which saved me money on gas. And then it would also give me 10 times points on the groceries, which included the gift cards. And in that first 6 months of the Amex Platinum, I earned like 300,000 points. And I know Marriott is not the best transfer partner of Amex, like a lot of those international flight carriers are. But we don't have any plans to go on any international flights anytime soon. I would love if that changed. But, you know, we saw the Marriott stay as being, you know, something we were definitely going to use. So they had a transfer bonus of 40%. Increase from transferring from Amex to Marriott. So we went ahead and transferred what we needed for the stay at the Wailea Beach Resort.
That's awesome. And yeah, a lot of people get really hung up on, oh, what's like the best transfer partner and how do I squeeze 20 cents of value out of every single one of my points? You don't have to worry about it. Like sometimes it'll happen and sometimes it doesn't, especially if it's your first redemption, which this was for you guys. Just use your points for whatever travel you're actually going to do. Because I know that some people will make themselves really convoluted route that makes no sense. And they inconvenience themselves. Like kids are crying on the plane because they're super jet lagged and having to travel for 24 hours straight or something like that. And just, you don't have to worry about it. Like you don't have to optimize for cents per point value. Just optimize for what's the travel you want to do and how can you get it for free. So that's a great redemption for you guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we actually picked like the Hyatt Regency and the Wailea Beach Resort over like the Ritz-Carlton, even though like the Ritz-Carlton had maybe even like lower cost points at the time we went. But me and my husband were like, we're not really Ritz-Carlton people. We'd rather stay at like a super family-friendly resort with like a great kids pool and just like a more casual environment. So if our four-year-old's being a four-year-old, then we don't have to like stress too much.
Yeah. So you're going again in just a couple of weeks. Tell us about your planning process for that trip. Anything that you're doing different?
So I want to see something different on this trip. So we want to stay at the Hyatt Regency Maui again for longer, but I want to see Kauai. I wanted to see another island and I picked Kauai, and they have the Grand Hyatt Kauai, which I've heard awesome stuff about. It looks very similar to the Hyatt Regency Maui. So I'm excited to see how it's different and how Kauai is different. So we are planning to add that onto the trip as well, but we're still doing Southwest with our two companion passes, and we are mostly, we're doing all Hyatts this time.
If you are listening to this episode thinking, I want to travel like this, but I need step-by-step directions. One of the best ways to level up your travel hacking game is by talking with other points people. I give away a free one-on-one coaching call each week. The secret link to sign up is in my weekly newsletter, which goes out every Monday and is first come, first serve to grab the free call. Also, I host a masterclass and group coaching session every month. You can find the links to sign up for the newsletter, monthly masterclass, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of past events, all in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout out goes out to Savvy. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. Since you have two companion passes, who are you bringing with you? You only have one kid, right?
So my mom typically travels with us, but she hasn't traveled with us as much like recently. When my son was a baby, she was always like traveling with us just to help out. And sometimes she'll go with us to like Las Vegas so she can have fun there, or she'll help like watch our son if we want to go out to dinner or something like that. So typically she's my husband's companion and my son is my companion.
Do you have any tips for people who are renting cars in Hawaii? Because I heard it was quite the ordeal last year to try to find a rental car and that they were always sold out.
So for our rental car, I was getting really stressed about this because there was news about no rental cars and I was starting to get worried. But so I told my husband, okay, we're not going to do a rental car. We're just going to do an Uber. But I heard everybody say you have to have a rental car to like explore Maui. And I felt like that. I wanted to explore and just see the island, not be stuck at just the hotel, no matter how awesome it was. And we have free valet parking, so we need to get a car. But I was checking AutoSlash. It's a website that was recommended to me for rental car prices. And at first I was just looking for SUVs because we like to have space. And then I like dropped it down to a regular sedan car. And they had like some prices pop up one day and I jumped on it. As soon as I saw a deal, I jumped on that. So, and I know some people have been looking at Turo and different options. I was too scared to do like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, but yeah, I found something through AutoSlash and that worked out. Usually I have a AAA membership and I like to look at their discounts for rental cars. I've found a lot of great deals through the AAA website for Hertz rentals, and they come with a free car seat, which is a big savings because that's like a daily charge for a car seat for children. And then we don't have to worry about like bringing one with us. And I don't mind using their kind of cheap car seat.
So how much do you think you saved on this whole trip that you took last time? And how much do you think you'll save this time just from points and miles and not having to spend it through cash?
So that's what's so awesome to me is I always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I always thought everybody tells you so expensive, Hawaii's so expensive. So I thought I have to wait until I have like $5,000 saved and be willing to spend it on a vacation for something special, like an anniversary or something, when I can finally afford for us to go to Hawaii. And that's why points and miles have been so incredible, because I felt like, wow, I can actually go to these places that I thought would have been previously pretty out of reach. I think it saved us like $4,500, $5,000 on all the like hotels and flights, because we paid for every hotel, every flight was all on points and miles.
So you just had to pay what, some taxes and fees for a Southwest flight?
Yes, $560, you know, each way for taxes and fees on Southwest. There were some taxes and fees on the Marriott hotels, but we even got some free breakfast out of it at the Hyatt. So we had so many perks in our rental car.
Any excursions that you recommend that you got to do in Maui that you're looking forward to doing it again?
That's what I was just thinking about, is whenever you save all that money on hotels, you have extra money to pay for those fun excursions, because those are expensive. Like, we did the luau at the Hyatt Regency Maui and really enjoyed that. And we did a boat excursion that took us snorkeling and had like a barbecue on the boat. It was so fun and just a beautiful day. And like, definitely one of my favorite like experiences of the whole trip. So we're definitely planning to do another like boat excursion, maybe in Kauai this time for something different. And I still have to decide if we want to do any more, or if we want to just relax on the beach more this time.
Coconut pancakes, or sorry, macadamia nut pancakes and coconut syrup is like my favorite thing in Hawaii. Whenever people ask what I like to do in Hawaii, it's just a list of food.
Yes. We loved everything we ate. And that's my husband's already like, more poke, just more poke all the time. And shaved eye.
Shout out to the credit hacker who has a fantastic post on his Instagram about recommendations for food along the different islands. He's a local in Hawaii. I've had him on the podcast before to talk about Hawaii tips from a local, and Hawaiian food is just so good.
Yes. I love listening to his episode before we went.
So when you do this route, because you're in Houston, right? Is it a direct flight to Maui from there, or how do you normally do the routing?
That's a great question. So a lot of times I look at cheap flights out of California, and there's so many like little Southwest hubs out of California that go to Hawaii. So I like to look at Oakland, Long Beach, San Jose, maybe even San Francisco, but I like the smaller airports a little bit more. So I think I tend to look at those. I think there's even more I'm not even thinking of, but I love looking at those. So last time we flew out of Long Beach and we actually stayed overnight. But I think because like the points were so low for Southwest, and I don't know, we had a 4-year-old, we were like, okay, let's stay overnight to break up the flights. And this time we are staying overnight in Oakland on one of the legs, and then we're going all the way on the other one. I think we were a little more open to like just stopping in, somewhere, changing planes and trying to make it all the way home, just to have more days to spend in Hawaii and not just at like an airport hotel.
Any tips for flying with a 4-year-old that far?
Bring snacks, lots of snacks, because it's a long flight and it's a lot of times through mealtime. Southwest doesn't give like a ton of food, and especially like during 2021 times, even like their snacks are a little more limited. And my son ate a lot more than I thought, and we left early in the morning. So I think next time we'll just have, I don't know, try to find some chicken nuggets or something before the flight, or figure out, I think beef jerky on a plane is definitely the other passenger's favorite.
Is he able to load up while you guys are in the lounges? Because you have the Amex Platinum, right? So you can go to the Escape Lounge in Oakland, I believe.
We'll have to try that, because last time we were in Long Beach, I don't know if they had any lounges there at the time, but I did love that airport. It was absolutely beautiful.
I prefer larger airports because they tend to have more lounge stuff that's going on, or just different things to do in the airport if you have a longer layover. But sometimes those small airports can be really convenient for, first of all, just finding your gate and not having to walk 10 miles if you're bringing a suitcase with you as well.
Yeah, I think all the like huge crowds like give me anxiety or stress me out sometimes. So I think I like when the airport feels like really small. And there's just like a few gates. That's pretty much it. I don't know if it's interesting or not, but I didn't get my first credit card until I was like 30 years old. It was just Yeah. I didn't get my first personal credit card until I was almost 30. It's just like 3 years ago that I got my first credit card. I got the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And before that, it's only debit cards. Like, through my whole like getting married, buying a house, furnishing my house, it was all, I have so much regret after after learning about all this. I love hearing your podcast about people like planning weddings. I'm like, how awesome that they get to make sure all this spend can be used towards a great honeymoon and travel, you know, in their early marriage years and all this time when you're kind of, you know, doing stuff, you could use all those points.
I feel like you could spread the word about this far and wide since you're in the wedding industry.
Yeah, I wrote a blog post about it recently, and just so people might think about it, since they are spending so much.
What is the story about your aversion to credit cards? Was it you were actively avoiding credit cards, or you were just like, eh, credit cards, whatever?
Yeah, I think my parents and my upbringing put like a pretty healthy fear of credit cards into me. Just, and I don't think it's, you know, wrong for them to definitely, they don't want you to, you know, get underwater in debt and have to pay all that extra interest. So the good thing is I got to learn how to manage my money well before credit cards.
Yeah, it's always a good reminder for everybody that rule number one is make sure that you pay everything off in full every month. And that if you carry over balance on any of these credit cards, that interest is going to outweigh any of the benefits that you're getting from the points and miles. So just make sure that you're carrying over a zero balance.
Definitely. So important.
So have you been able to get your family into the game now?
So my husband is definitely on board now. That's how we were able to earn points for this next Hawaii trip, because he's like, okay, I want to go again. I want to go longer. So I'm like, okay, open this card. Let's do this. So we're able to earn a lot of points in the last, like, I don't know, 6 months to be able to afford another Hawaii trip.
Was he also not getting any credit cards until he was 30?
He had one, a Chase Unlimited card, the Chase Freedom Unlimited, for like his whole life. That's all he had. So he just got his first like points and miles card, I guess in probably like 2020. Well, I guess the Chase Freedom Unlimited had points, but I don't think he ever did anything with them. So yeah, in early 2020, he got the Southwest card to try to start pursuing the companion pass.
Have you gotten your mom into it since she's seen the joys of getting to travel for free as well?
She's been super supportive because she's been traveling with us. And now she's telling us like, oh, once you've had globalist status, you can't go back again.
That is a true statement. I got globalist this year in a very similar manner as to how you did it, where I stayed 13 nights in January. Each of those counted for two nights. So 26 plus I had 5 through my World of Hyatt credit card. So that got me to the 30 nights because they only require 30 instead of 60 in 2021. And now I'm already like projecting to February 2023 when my globalist status expires. I'm like, I have to get it back. I have to do it again. We have to just stay at Hyatt a lot in 2022. So yeah, you can't go back once you've got a globalist.
I don't know what we're going to do if it goes back to 60 nights.
Yeah. For sure. I'm trying to plan it all out in like a spreadsheet where I'm like, well, maybe I'll just like live at the Luxor in Las Vegas for like 2 weeks, which is not going to be the greatest existence. Like live at the Excalibur where they don't even have Wi-Fi for $30 a night. Yeah.
Well, I'll be following along to see how you do it.
Sounds good. All right. Well, this has been awesome just getting to learn about your trip to Hawaii. It was an awesome first redemption story, too. This is really impressive for a first redemption. And also, I really like how you didn't have to go for like one of those super fancy first class flights or business class flights. Southwest Companion Pass, in and of itself, is such a great accomplishment. And I know it's one of those aspirational things for a lot of people who tell themselves, oh, I don't really need like a first class flight. I want to just like travel in economy in perpetuity. You get as many free flights as you can. Nothing wrong with that. And the Southwest Companion Pass is a fantastic way to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've found a lot of value in specializing in like specific brands, like finding what really works well for you. Like we're close to a Southwest airport. We, you know, our family and Southwest Travel is great for families and just like figuring out how they work and just focusing on getting points for them. And then finding out that we love Hyatt hotels, especially Hyatt Regencies, and just pushing our Chase points over there and getting Hyatt credit cards so that all of our points are really being used on what we know we love.
That's a really good point about specializing in a particular program. So many people try to spread themselves out so thin when they say, I'll stay in a little bit of Hyatt, a little bit of Marriott, a little bit of IHG, a little bit of Hilton. And you can't really build up status that way. If it's the most convenient way for you to travel, that's great. No worries there, especially if you're only staying 10 hotel nights in a year, then stay wherever. But if you're staying 60 nights in a year and you're putting 2 weeks or so on each different brand, then it makes it really hard to earn status. So focusing your energy is a really good way to go. And speaking of Southwest, our most popular, most played episode on this podcast is still episode number 39, which is all about different Southwest tricks for anybody who wants to learn more about companion pass and all of the other tricks that you can do with Southwest, because they have quite a few with how their terms and conditions are structured.
Yes, that's awesome. I know we, with that special like window, the Southwest window that was open like earlier in the year, we booked a lot of great deals on that. It's not available now, but Swa Travel Tips was sharing when all those were open. And I booked like, I don't know, 6 different flights with that. I saved so much money.
So with everything that you've learned so far in points and miles, what would you say is your number one piece of travel hacking advice for listeners today?
I think because I started so late, I would just encourage people to start. I think, you know, credit cards were scary to me, but I've, you know, made a couple of mistakes and it was no big deal. So I just encourage people to start, because that's the best way to learn, is like sign up for that, you know, Chase Sapphire Preferred, and, you know, start working towards that bonus and then, you know, figure out what travel partner to transfer it to. I think if you're nervous, just start and practice, and that's the best way to learn.
Awesome advice. And speaking of awesome advice, can you give shout outs to some people on the internet who you love to follow and you would recommend that other people follow for great points and miles tips as well?
Sure. So I have loved all the people you've had on your podcast. They are a great place to start. I also love Marianne from Mal to Ian on Instagram. I check her stuff every day and practically reshare it every day because it's always like so great. I also wanted to recommend Shang from Save My Sense. She's more of a financial account, but she's done a lot of travel hacking, and I'd love to hear what tips she might have on your podcast. And then I also like the Point Sisters, Kelsey and Devin.
Awesome. Yes, all fantastic people. I keep trying to get Marianne on this podcast. I've been chasing her since like day one. I've had Shang on the podcast as well to talk about her Japan trip. Shang is episode 44 and just interviewed the Point Sisters the other day. At this point, their episode is not released yet, but it'll be coming soon. So get excited for that. And where can we find you on the internet?
Sure. The best place to find me is on Instagram at Our Long Life Blog.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for coming on the show today. It's been such a pleasure having you and getting to learn about how you booked your Hawaii trip. And I look forward to following on Instagram and seeing how you do it the second time around.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!